Thank you, Rose and Niall. Thank you, Elliot and Adriana, for leading us this morning. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come on this day, again celebrating Christmas, celebrating the birth of your son, Jesus, to bring us great joy. Lord, today, help us to understand, again, in greater measure, what it truly means. Help us to see beyond and through the different and unique circumstances that many people even watching today are experiencing. Some of the joys, some of the things that we think about that are bring great joy, we're grateful for those. But Lord, we're very aware that for many, they carry a heaviness, they carry a great challenge because of the circumstances, because of the situations around them. And so today I pray that together we would understand more fully what it means to be one who experiences joy personally because of you. And so we ask that you would open up our eyes to see what your word has to say for us. May I be an open and transparent vessel as a messenger of your word this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that you have been able to spend some time over the course of these last days with family and friends celebrating the gift of Jesus, the one whom we celebrate. Our family, we're fortunate to have some family in town, and so being able to actually celebrate together with them has been wonderful. We play games, we gather around the living room, we watch movies together, perhaps like some of you, we eat some great food, and then we just kind of enjoy relaxing, and that's kind of a part of our family traditions. I hope that you can also experience some of those in your own life. Now today we're calling this our fourth Advent Sunday, and it's a little bit odd. I know it seems a little out of place since Christmas Day was actually yesterday, and so we should have completed our fourth Advent Sunday prior to Christmas. But in light of all the other adjustments that you and I have been making throughout the course of this past year, I think it's all good, and so we're going to go ahead on this Boxing Day. We're going to call it our fourth Advent Sunday, and we're focusing on joy. Over the course of these last 4 weeks, we've been looking at very familiar themes of hope. That's where we started. Then we moved to peace. Then last Sunday, we looked at the concept of love. And today, we're talking about joy, and specifically, we're talking about having joy in every situation. And I'll be honest, the way that I want to understand joy, the way that I want to understand joy by my natural tendencies has been challenged this Christmas. I'll tell you why. I would have preferred to be celebrating this season with each of you, my church family. And that's no surprise. I've said it before. I know that. And I've probably had to watch my attitude at a few points along the way through this Christmas season, making sure that I'm not Mr. Grumpy Pants because we can't be together. But that's been one of the challenges before me. I look around, and not only look around, but I connect with and intersect with people who are struggling significantly because of the lack of community, because of the lack of being together with other people. And I see them floundering. I see their faith floundering. I see their mental health struggling. And the best thing for them would be to actually have a community around them, encouraging them. And so many people are actually having a difficult time. And I'm not sure that if you were to ask them to describe if they were experiencing joy or you know, those emotions that come with that, I don't know if you would actually necessarily get that. I in fact, have seen and been a part of some relationships where people are just downright angry because of the position that our own church has taken in regards to how we're kind of walking through this health crisis and closing things down. And that's never pleasant, I'll be honest. And so that's been a part of sort of the dynamic around my own sort of reality. But then, you know, then in the past 2 weeks, our church family has grieved the passing of several dear servants whom I and probably many of you counted as dear friends. Ralph Viss always had a smile on his face. I remember Ralph actually from the very first time when we actually candidated at Westwood. I remember him connecting with me, and from then on, I just kind of really gravitated to him. He always had a warm smile on his face. He was ready to serve wherever needed. You know, when we were able to gather in person back this last summer, he was one of the first ones back. If you know, Tony Romaine might have beat him, but Ralph was like right next behind him. And they were serving at the front door. They were greeting people. They were reconnecting with you, his church family, whom he loved dearly. And in these last couple of weeks, he's passed away, and that's been a real hardship. 1 month ago, Johannes Gita, one of our former elders, along with his wife Naomi, they're hosting our staff. They're hosting our elders at their farm. And Johannes was giving sleigh rides to everybody who asked, kids of the families that were there, spouses. We were having a blast. We had this huge bonfire going. We're eating chili that they had made. He loved every minute of what he was doing. He and I were planning a teaching series on marriage and family, something that Johannes was very, very passionate about. And then life changed so quickly. And so while both of these dear servants are now with Jesus, and with that I can rejoice, it's actually a profound relational loss for me and for many of you, which brings me sadness, not joy. So when I speak about some of those things, those of you who are watching today and participating in this worship service can relate. Some of you can relate. I know that. Yes, you know it's Christmas. Yes, you know it's the Advent season. And yes, you know that the theme of joy is our focus today. But you're not actually quite certain if joy is how you would describe your current reality. For some, it's the weight of life-altering illnesses or postponed surgeries or life-saving surgeries, unexpected surprises. For some, it's the burden of adult children walking away from the faith that they once professed. For others, some of our younger folks, it's trying to figure out if you're going to survive adolescence or survive university. For some of our families, there's struggles. You're not sure what the future holds. For some, you're alone and you're lonely, and that's a real weight. For some, personal finances are super stressful. For some, job security is unknown. You see, there's a lot of people experiencing these heavy, weighty realities right now, and it's hard. And if you focus too deeply on the message of the culture around us, especially at Christmas, this message of being with family, eating good food, spending money as the means to experience joy, you will get derailed. You will think, wow, that's not my reality. So maybe we need to rethink what joy actually means. And so that's really the focus of this morning. Kay Warren, she's the wife of the well-known pastor Rick Warren down in California. And Kay has actually given a lot of thought about what it means to experience joy, how we understand it, and then how we live it out as disciples of Jesus. They lost their young adult son just a couple of years ago to suicide. And after her own wrestling with God following that experience, as she looked at the scriptures and she studied for herself, what does this mean to be a person of joy? This is her personal definition of joy as she has kind of worked through the scriptures. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. So that's coming from someone who has given a lot of thought to what it actually means after coming through a difficult season. I wrote a devotional for an Advent series this year that our seminary produced, and my focus also actually was interestingly enough, was on joy, and it was interesting both in terms of some of the challenges of church leadership these days and this past year, but then also, with the deaths of Johannes and Ralph. And this is how I defined it, about 6 weeks ago as I wrote the devotional. I wrote, joy is different from pleasure or happiness, as many understand it, because one cannot create or manufacture it. Rather, as one fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy comes from knowing, loving, and serving God. Now, when I wrote that, my focus was based on Philippians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul, he describes his overflowing joy in what God was doing around him and through the church that he was writing to, even though he himself was not experiencing what we would call the good life. He was actually imprisoned for his faith. So clearly, joy cannot be relegated to only happy or pleasurable experiences. And unfortunately, for many, even those who claim to be followers of Jesus, we actually don't always think or live in ways that demonstrate how a life of genuine joy actually looks. So rather than living in a way that believes that joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of the details of my life, or understanding that joy is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit as we know and as we love and as we serve God, regardless of the circumstances, we live in a way where we allow the circumstances to determine whether or not we can live with joy. And there's a big difference between the two. So it's no wonder then that that the concept of joy, this kind of understanding of joy, is often left in the unfortunate realm of consumer goods and the good life at Christmas, while forgotten in the realm of Christian discipleship and worship. But when we look at the scriptures, we actually find that this term, this understanding, this focus of joy is quite at home in the Bible. It appears, that word joy, it appears some 60 times in the New Testament. The verb form of it, rejoice, is used even more. So it's actually quite a significant thing. It's often used within the Bible in a context where we might think it's strange, like when the outcast shepherds in the fields who receive this good news of great joy that will be for everyone. Everyone, even people like those shepherds who often found themselves on the margins in their world. Everyone means everyone. Regardless of your situation, no matter what your circumstance, the good news that brings great joy for everyone. So in Philippians chapter 4, Paul calls disciples of Jesus to rejoice or to find joy always. And he's writing those words while he's sitting in a dirty jail cell prior to being killed. In 1 Peter chapter 4, disciples of Jesus were told, this is what Peter writes, disciples of Jesus should not be surprised when they walk through painful trials, when trials become a part of their life. They're not supposed to view them as something strange, but they're to rejoice. They're supposed to rejoice that they can participate in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. How often do we think about that when we walk through trials? And then in John chapter 15, Jesus tells his disciples that his heavenly Father prunes. He cuts away things in our lives, even fruitful lives, so that they might bear even more fruit. And I read that, and I actually find that quite striking, because my tendency would be to think that if my life is bearing fruit, why in the world would I mess with it? Why in the world would God mess with it? Leave it alone and let it do its thing, because clearly it's producing fruit. But God prunes because, according to Jesus, God wants to prune or wants to have us bear even more fruit. And yet when he prunes and cuts away, it's painful. But then do you know what Jesus says to his disciples right after he teaches them about this pruning in their life? He says this: I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. My joy, Jesus says. Yes, so that your joy will overflow. And you look at that and you go, really, Jesus? I can rejoice? I can find joy? I can be filled with joy even when life hurts? Even when things do get stripped away? Like meaningful friends in Ralph and Johannes, who had a deep impact on me and on many others in our church family. And you mean it's true? I can be filled with joy. I can find joy when a fifth wave of COVID comes crashing down on us like a tsunami, sucking our sense of hope that we're ever going to get through this thing? And we can experience joy when things are not as we hope, not as we wish, not what they should be in our work, in our family, in our economic position? And according to Jesus, the answer is yes. Think about the Christmas story that we've been celebrating these last weeks. And it's a timeless story, and we come back to it again and again, year after year. And the characters always are the same. They never change. And yet we continue to trust that God speaks to us through his word, through the story of him coming into our world in the form of Jesus. Think about the two central characters, Joseph and Mary. In many ways, they illustrate how one can actually move forward in difficult experiences, in life-challenging circumstances, and yet experiencing joy, allowing God to take care of the details, as Kay Warren writes, when things don't go as planned and life gets altered, stopping long enough to listen to the God whom they love and serve, something which I spoke about in my devotional. Because when we look at Joseph and Mary, these folks are well-adjusted, they're godly, young people, they're in love, they're planning to be married. Everything's going well until we know the story. Mary finds out that she's pregnant, and suddenly everything changes. Everything changes. Mary's approached by an angel who tells her that she, a virgin, is going to conceive a child. That child would be the Son of God. Told by an angel from the heavens? Like, really? And we can recount the story, but it doesn't hit us with the same force because we see the big picture 2,000 years later, and we're kind of looking back and reflecting back on it. But put yourself in Joseph and Mary's shoes for a moment. Joseph knows that he's not been sexually involved with Mary. So if he hasn't, somebody else has, and therefore Mary has been unfaithful to him. That's not the way that he had planned his life to go. If that doesn't kind of take the joy out of the relationship, I'm not sure what does. But we need to remember about how we're defining joy. Circumstances around us shouldn't determine whether or not we can have joy or not. But these two young people, they're in a difficult bind in their culture. There's several stages of this courtship during this time that they're living in first century Jewish culture. The first stage involved two families arranging two young people in advance for a potential marriage someday. I've been contemplating this a little bit for my own two daughters to simplify things for me. I do have to get them to agree to it, but it could, you know, have some benefit, right? The second stage for these two young people was this betrothal period, which would have lasted up to a year. And that was the stage that Joseph and Mary were in. And this part of the courtship was actually really quite permanent. The community around them recognized them as a couple. They viewed themselves as a couple with the exception that they were not sexually involved. They could separate, but Joseph would have to write, according to their law and customs, he'd have to write Mary a certificate of divorce, but because they were in their latter stages of this betrothal period, a divorce would look really, really ugly. Mary would be ostracized at the best of times, possibly punished at the worst. Suddenly, everything changes. So you're in love one day, and now you're all of a sudden very confused. Maybe you're bitter, possibly angry. Is joy the first word that comes to your mind when you think about this young couple in this season of their life? And yet, that's just the beginning of this series of crises for Joseph and Mary. The Bible says that after Joseph had considered this, that is, after he had considered the potential divorce, the writing of that certificate of divorce, and I can imagine that that would be really, really challenging. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. After Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, tells Joseph not to be fearful of taking Mary as his wife because what has been conceived within her is from God, and Mary would give birth to a son, Jesus, who would bring about salvation to the world, who would bring humankind salvation from their sin. So think about this. The struggle for Joseph just gets more complicated. Yes, they got to work through those relational tensions in the community around them. Mary is pregnant, but she's pregnant with Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for years, for centuries. And he's going to be the earthly father to the Son of God? Like, what man jumps to grab that responsibility? So you have a pregnant girlfriend, the child is the Son of God, you've been saddled with unexpected responsibilities and fears, you're socially ostracized, and now you have to have a chat with the parents. Like, parents, would you be brimming with joyful thoughts if these are your kids? Well, not if you believe that the circumstances around you determine whether or not you can experience joy. And yet the crisis still hasn't finished. The confusion has not ended for Joseph and Mary. Caesar makes it law that everybody has to travel to their hometown to register for the purpose of census and taxation. So late in Mary's pregnancy, they pack up all their belongings, they load it all on a donkey, they travel across the country to Bethlehem, only to find this small hick town filled to capacity and buzzing with activity because many other people also had to go to their hometown, which was Bethlehem, to register there. And this couple is just a short time away from delivering a baby. So, moms, young moms, you can appreciate the frustration. You can appreciate the anxiety that Mary might have been experiencing. We just celebrated, actually, a couple of weeks ago, Adriana's 20th birthday. Now, it seems like yesterday, when she, at 8 days old, was baby Jesus in the Christmas Eve program at Willow Park Church in Kelowna. It seems like yesterday, because we remember the birth like it was yesterday. Leanne was 10 days overdue. She needed to be induced, and with the exception of one other mom in the next room yelling at the top of her lungs, "Get this baby out of me," it was a relatively peaceful night. Or that's how I remember it anyways, and I know I'm going to get it from Leanne later, but that's how I remembered that night in the hospital. And then at 1:09 a.m., December 6, 2001, this 9-pound baby girl enters our world, and she has been an awesome daughter ever since. Well, we're not told how Joseph and Mary felt about their particular situation, about their birthing surroundings. All we know is that they settled. They settled for a barn-like setting in some sort of stable, possibly a cave, where Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God is with us, this Son of God who comes into their world, the one who's embodied this great news of great joy, and this person is born for you and for me to save us from all our sin, and to be with us forever. That was the message that the angels received after Jesus was born. Fear not, the angels said. They're coming down on those shepherds, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's the message that the angels gave to the shepherds for everyone. It's a message for you. It's a message for me, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the reality in which you and I find ourselves. So experiencing joy at Christmas, or experiencing joy and being filled with joy any time of the year, is not dependent on whether or not you have your life together and all things are going well. By the same token, not experiencing joy is not based on a life that lacks or is faced with great challenge. Those are inadequate understandings of joy. Because remember the Apostle Paul, who's rejoicing in prison because of what he sees God doing in and around him through the people of God in Philippi. Remember Jesus, who said he cuts things away from our life so that we can bear fruit and that joy will result from it. See, the Christmas season and the message that it brings is great, because no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, the birth of Jesus Christ and the joy that he offers to you in spite of your circumstances is for you. It's for you. Today, a Savior has been born for you and for me, and he is with us, caring for all of us, regardless of our circumstances. He's in control of that area that is weighing you down right now. He is carrying it with you and for you. Can you choose joy because of that? That God is with you. Can you choose joy even when things are stripped away from your life and some of you are experiencing a stripping away? Not because it feels good. You don't have to experience joy or happiness because it feels good. No. But because you have the assurance that God is in control of the details of your life, regardless of what it looks like. Can you choose to get to the point of praising God in all situations? Not because you love the tough stuff, but because Jesus, God with you, is greater than the tough stuff. And he is here for you and for me. That's joy. That's joy. Now, maybe on this Boxing Day Sunday 2021, you were expecting a different message. Maybe you thought about joy coming into this weekend, and you wanted to see Pastor Rob do a happy dance along with some message on the good life, or, you know, like all the great things that our culture sometimes communicates. Well, that would have been fun, maybe, to see me do a happy dance, but it's not going to happen. Maybe it's even felt a little bit heavy for some. But I guess today I'm speaking to the many with whom I have observed and connected with. And some of you I know are watching, and you've had a tough go this past while. And you're wondering, as you've come into the Advent season, you're wondering if you can actually experience joy. Well, I want to ask you, I want to challenge you this morning to consider the definition of joy that I've been working with this morning from the scriptures. And then second, I want to offer you two helps that may actually help you embrace and live out a more biblical understanding of joy, not only at Christmas, but every day of the year, regardless of your circumstances and regardless of the situation in which you find yourself. The first help is this. Would you make time to listen to God's voice? Would you make time to listen to God's voice? Think about Joseph and Mary's response to their very challenging situation, the heavies that came with their story. This is what the Bible says. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, think about those words. But after he had considered this, and the word goes on, it talks about how the angel of the Lord invites him to take Mary home as his wife. Then verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. See, they're living in crazy circumstances. They were loaded down with all kinds of challenge. The situation which they found themselves was one that they were not asking for. It probably wasn't one that any of you or I would envy, and yet here they are. And how are they going to respond? They stopped. They stopped long enough to listen to what God wanted to say to them in the midst of their challenge. I think that's probably what the Apostle Paul was getting at when he was writing to the Philippians. Can you and I do that? Can we stop long enough to consider what God wants to say to us in and through the difficulties in which we find ourselves? One thing that has helped me to stay anchored and grounded in difficult times is to take significant and intentional time in silence and reading God's word, and then journaling in a notebook what God is saying to me through his word, and then going on prayer walks where I express my heart to God. I mean, God knows what I'm thinking about anyway, so why not speak it out to him? And so, you know, you may find me, you know, walking around Clayton Park from time to time. And if I'm there, it's because I'm going on prayer walks. And if you got close enough, it'd be because I'm actually talking to God. And as I do this, I'm often amazed at how he speaks to me in return through his word, through other people whom he brings into my life, giving me confidence, assurance, that he is indeed in control of the details of my life, even when life is upended, even when things take a detour, even when things are challenging in some way. You see, in difficult seasons of life, it's so easy to become consumed with the challenges. Like, don't tell me for a moment that Joseph and Mary weren't tempted to get consumed with the challenges of their reality. They're human. Of course they were consumed. They were carrying big weights. They were thinking about big things, life-altering decisions. And sometimes we can get so consumed with that we fail to stop and consider what God wants to say to us. But after he had considered this, you might be watching even this morning and you've got a challenge of your own, and you're not convinced that you can find joy in it. I get that. That's fair. But give consideration to your understanding of joy. If your understanding of joy is happiness or pleasure or centered on a healthy, wealthy life, you're going to struggle. But if you come to the place of having a settled assurance that God is in control, and he wants you first and foremost to know him, to love him, and to serve him, he will produce joy within you by his Holy Spirit. You will get to that point because it's not something that you produce, it's something that God produces within you. Will you take time and stop to hear what God has to say about your personal situation? So that's the first encouragement today. The second encouragement is this: surrender to what Jesus asks of you. So if you take time to consider what God has to say to us, then you actually need to follow it up and actually do something about it. And that doing involves surrender. I'm quite certain that this unexpected reality that Joseph and Mary experienced challenged them deeply, like incredibly. But you know what? God's ways are always higher than our ways. They're always higher. I'm not sure if this same story happened today that there would be the same results. We see a lot of shattered families. We see a lot of broken teenage relationships. We see abortions. Those might be some of the more natural responses to challenging, weighty circumstances from people who may not always stop and consider what God has to say and then surrender to what he asks. See, the Bible says when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Mary, she said, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to you as you have said. And right there, there's this huge reminder that Jesus desires surrender. But you know what? Even more than that, he actually demands surrender. To follow Jesus is to surrender to him in whatever situation you find yourself in. And in surrender, there comes joy. Not because you know everything about how everything's going to unfold in your life. No, not because of that. Not because of what you have or what you do not have. You will experience joy not because you've got this daunting situation before you that looks like it's going to crush you and tsunami you. No, you will have joy and you'll be filled with joy because in whatever situation you find yourself, you are surrendering to the one who actually knows all the details of your life, is in control of all the details of your life, and you can have that settled assurance because he has been born for you and he is Jesus Christ the Lord who is with us. Good news of great joy. That's the person I'm asking you to place your trust in even today. As I wrap up, I'd actually like to invite Elliot and Adriana back up, and they're going to lead us in one last song. It's called With Us. It was written initially as a recording song, but it became one that Elliot desired to also have as a congregational song. And I believe that the lyrics of this song kind of capture some of what we've been talking about. And I hope and pray that it's encouragement to each and every one of us, but specifically to you who's watching today, who is loaded down, burdened with some kind of weighty life experience, a life-altering challenge, and you're wondering if, in fact, you can actually experience the joy that we've been speaking about. And would you allow God to speak to you? Even now through this song, he speaks through many, many ways, and music is one of them. And would you surrender that situation to the Lord, and then we're gonna pray together, and we'll bless you as you carry on with your week. So Elliot and Adriana, please lead us.